Good, good. One of the things that I just think we should all be thankful for, in the last couple of years, we've learned to appreciate our health and church. Yes, I like that one better. I'll say it again. Let's just try. See, Brian's giving me the good Sunday school answer. So, yes, we've learned to appreciate church, and more importantly, we've learned to, no, I should say it different, our health. More importantly, we've learned to appreciate church. And so, but I do want to encourage you in the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear stories of people where AFC has changed their life. And what I want to challenge you with, and this is going to be the harshness of Pastor, but if you're not a part of any of the stories in the next 7 weeks, okay, then you need to start getting a little more active in sharing, right? In sharing and being a part of lives change. It's harsh, isn't it? But you know, if you hear 7 stories in a row after 7 weeks and you've not impacted any of their lives, then get busy. Because God is calling us to impact lives for Christ. And I don't know, and I keep saying this, but I've never really been able to say it as confidently as I do today, but our world needs Christ. Our world needs us to be open, to share, to be willing. There are people that need Christ. There are people that are looking for answers. There are people that are looking for groups to belong. We can be that place, and we can be that people. And so I would encourage you to continue to be Christ, not only here, but outside of here. Y'all got your Bibles on your phone, in your lap, in your mind maybe. Some of you are that good. We're going to go to Scripture today. Oh, goodness. And we're going to talk about God's will. Y'all ever struggle with understanding God's will? Yes, I think that we have honestly in the church overcomplicated it. I remember the person that kept saying to me, the pastor kept saying, I really feel like you're called. And then the next thing I knew after years of that person saying that to me, they began to say, so what exactly in ministry are you called to? Well, then the big struggle came. I could wrap my mind around maybe God would use little Joey. But then the next step was, well, what? Well, then I got confused, and I was confused for years, because every time you would say, I think God's called me, they would say, well, what to? And I would say, well, I think the Bible just says that we're called to be, but I guess I got to figure it out, so it's got to be youth. You know what I'm saying? Or for some of us, it's like, well, I've got to be a teacher. Well, no, the Lord's telling me to. And what I want to do today is kind of encourage you, okay, that we are called to be like Christ, and then whatever we do, do unto the. Y'all are like half awake, right? Whatever you do, do unto the Lord. And so today, that's where we're going to head and kind of get rid of the misconceptions. And part of this journey, and I kind of shared it in second service last week, but not in this service, but I want to share it today with you. Part of this Join the Journey series is for you to become a little bit relaxed in your mind about what AFC should be about and should be doing. Because this year we're going to challenge you to do some things that maybe AFC has never done before. In fact, I think that COVID, if churches are really seeking the heart of the Lord, have all had to make changes that were unexpected, that weren't planned. Obviously, we could stand here today and talk about all the ways that we did things differently in the last 2 years, and most of it we couldn't help. But this year, we can help, and God is calling, and it is going to be a little bit different. And so I hope today as we think about God's will, we can think a little bit differently about it. Y'all got it open. Why don't we stand this morning for the reading of God's word, starting in chapter 11, verse 25. And I want you to hear, if you've got your Bible and it's a red letter Bible, it's going to be red letters, okay? And I love this because Jesus doesn't just say, like, hey, here's what it's going to be. I'm going to call you to ministry and you're going to be a youth pastor from now to the end. What's interesting is that Jesus just calls people unto himself. And then he does the rest. That's the beauty of it. That's why the importance of the Holy Spirit comes to play, because the Holy Spirit speaks into us in all of our moments if we'll just call on to him. So here's what Jesus says. Come to me and I will give you rest. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses. Now here's my prayer for us today. Think about this. For anyone with whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you today. And God, I pray that you would work in the midst of me. God, I pray today that the words that are spoken, God, the journey that you're calling us to step into, to be a part of, to engage in, God, that it would become clear, that we would uncomplicate it, that we would unclutter it. God, that you would speak truth. And so today, Lord, let us just see you, let us hear you, and let us understand your will better. And God, we just give these things over to you. We pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Don't you love Jesus? You better say yes, because you're in his building. Okay. Well, I hope you love Jesus, and I love Jesus in that when I read these scriptures and I think about my life over the years and how I've overcomplicated things, it's so crazy. Jesus was telling the people, like, basically, as much as you can handle, I'll reveal to you, and in that revelation, I'm going to give you rest because it's going to be a heavy burden because my yoke is going to be your yoke, and it is heavy and it is hard, but in that, I'm going to give you rest, so you're going to get to rest, and I'm going to get to be with you. And then we take it as Christians and we make it really, really complicated. We say you should and you shouldn't. We say you should now and you shouldn't then, but you should. I mean, we just overcomplicate it. And yet here Jesus is saying, hey, here's my will. I know the Father. The Father knows me. If you want to know the Father and you want to know me, then come to me. And then he immediately says, and I will give you rest. Well, I think that's funny because if you really understand all of who God is and all of who Jesus is, just even in that, you might need some rest after you process it. So let's go through this today. Oftentimes, we have to figure out what something isn't before we can understand what something is. And so I want to take a moment to say what God's will is not, okay? And we're going to have a little fun with this. We put God's will and our will, and we pit them against each other. Have you ever done that? You've thought about things like, well, you know, I want to, but I think that God wants to. And so all of a sudden, we're making it a versus thing instead of a combined thing. And so your will and God's will are not in competition with one another. Well, what do you mean? What's interesting is oftentimes in the scripture, in fact, in Sunday school today, we're going to talk about the heart that Paul told Timothy to have. And if we have the heart of the Lord, our will and God's will are going to mesh together. And oftentimes when we become a people that are not at peace, it means that what? Our will is in competition with God's will. Why? Because Jesus said, I give you peace. In fact, it's the greatest gift that he gives us. Oftentimes when people are trying to work through stuff, I say, okay, well, how do you feel about it? Well, what do you mean? Like, how do you feel about it? Can I be funny for a second? I think oftentimes we say, like, and maybe this is true, I don't know. I felt it when I met Ashley. But oftentimes we say, like, I've got to meet that Mr. or Mrs. Wright. I mean, how do I know? I mean, I met them and I often think of God going like this, because you go to God and say, hey, is this right? And I feel like this is what the Lord might say to us sometimes. You got to live with her. Right? So if you feel like you can live with her and you feel like that's what, I'll go with you on that. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, think about a highway, okay? Oftentimes we get on a highway and there's a what? There's the slow lane, okay? And there's the fast lane. Now there's a difference. Both my wife and I are Christians, right? Where do I stick? I stick on the slow lane, and following after her mother's guidance, she goes to the fast lane, okay? And I won't reference who's had more accidents or anything, but you can assume by me not answering it that it's probably not me, okay? You ever get that Progressive thing and you put it in your, I have American Family now, Dave, but anyway, when I had Progressive, I put it in the thing and we put in both our cars and I got a 15% discount and she got a 6, and so I'm assuming that would say, because you have kids, see, that doesn't make any sense. because you turn around. You know that's dangerous, right? She blames the children. That makes no sense, right, Kyle? Because she should be safer than me because I don't drive them around. Anyway, but I think oftentimes we say to ourselves, well, my goodness, I mean, God, you're supposed to just, but see, if our heart is his heart, then if we're not feeling at peace about something, normally that's a what? I mean, if you're joining with another heart, and that heart isn't completely embracing Christ, then right there I would say, is that God's will or not? I would say no as a pastor, right? And when I sat down with a couple, my goodness, a couple years ago, and I said, you know, well, let's start out with salvation. You know, when were you saved and when were you? And I kind of did it this time because I knew the other person. And they said, well, in my church, I just grew up in my church and I'm a Christian. And I said, well, like, when was that moment when you decided? Well, no, the church decided for me because I was born in the church and so I was predestined to be in the kingdom of God. So I never actually asked. Now, you know, right there, what do I do? I look to the person that I know really well and I say, okay, this is something you all already don't agree with. And that other person, that gentleman, very strong in his faith, strong convictions, and he said, well, I've been overlooking that, but it's bothered me. Okay, then right there, you're already beginning to see God's will at peace and your will, and it's not at peace. See, don't overcomplicate it. Don't let our will be against. Let ourselves be realistic enough, and if you think about last week, being real or true with ourselves and understanding that it's sometimes so easy. We oftentimes think there's one path, right? Come on now, you all know this because you've taught your kids this. Well, you know, there's one path to Jesus, and if you're going to, and that's true, right? And then there's one path to the Father, but oftentimes we think that there's just one path, and that's the best path, and if you go on your iPhone and you plug in an address, you know what it's going to do? It's going to give you three ways to what? The same address. My wife and I have been in a year-long argument, and I don't like to, I know I'm on you today, but it works, but in a good way, in a good way. This is a good thing. I did the bad and now the good. I am a better driver. But anyway, I'm not really, I'll be honest. It's just that while that thing was in there, I was extra what? Cautious and careful. And when I pulled that thing out, I do drive under the speed limit. But anyway, oftentimes we think there's just one way, right? About a year now, we've been struggling with, she's been sending me houses because she wants a farmhouse with land where she can have a little garden and we can have some type of donkey or something because our kids like to be outside. We're back and forth on that because everybody wanted dogs, and guess who dogs those are? I still get blamed that they're my dogs. I did bring them home, but I was going along with the family. Do you know what I'm saying? And now they're mine. That might not be totally true. But anyway, and I've said to her, I said, I really don't feel at peace about it. I feel like we've got a house. We need to stick with this. And she said, well, I feel like AFC is going to keep us, and so we're going to be here a long time. You may not feel that way. You may say, oh, gosh, we were hoping in 4 years to nix them in that vote. But anyway, you'll still have that opportunity. And I kept saying no. In fact, for 6 months, I didn't even look at it. I said, honey, you can't sell a house right now and buy a house for what we can afford. Does that make sense? Because right now you can sell and you can go rent, but you can't buy what we have in. And so we've gone back and forth and back and forth. And we had an argument. And then after that, I usually come around 3 to 4 days later. And I said, okay. And in my prayer time, she doesn't even know this, I prayed and said, God, it sounds like she really wants this. Every time we go to petting zoo, when we leave, all the kids cry. And so maybe this is, you know, they're not gamer kids. They don't do any of that stuff. They like to be outside. Indiana prevents that for, you know, 9 out of the 12 months. So maybe during the 3 months that we can go outside, it would be nice to be able to do that. And I can say this on live stream, but our neighbor, right, that backs up to our house like 6 feet from our, we have interesting times. He has said things to my daughter like, my goodness, she has legs for a mile. And that's like things that, you know, aren't appropriate. And anyway, or says, hey, can you go in and have your dad get the wine opener? And she comes in and says, what's a wine opener? And so he's introduced her to a lot of new things that aren't really appropriate for her age. And so I can see maybe a little land would be nice. And so I seriously prayed and said, God, I don't want to move. The only reason I really don't want to move is because I don't literally want to move, meaning I don't want to pack anything. I don't want to take anything down. I don't want to repair the holes in the walls. I just don't want to do any of that. And the Lord said, it's time for you to consider it. She followed you here, so why not follow her there? And I became open to it, and it was like, God does what God does. And we sold our house for more than asking and bought our house for under asking. And that's how God works. And so in all of that, so yes, we're moving. So most of you, I needed to clear that up because I'm getting a lot of the text. So we're moving to a little old farmhouse, smaller than our house. We're not sure how we're going to do that, but there are things sitting on the street that if you're interested in, come by and pick up. That seems to be the new theme in front of our home. And so if you're interested in anything that you've seen in our house, it might be on our front lawn and you can have it. And so, but I thought, well, Lord, this is it. We moved here. You know, I grew up in a house where, like, we moved to the house and I can remember it and they're still there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we don't need to move again. We already moved. This is it. And God began to work on my heart. And it wasn't about what house. It was about being at peace with the house. Does that make sense? And we saw a couple and we were at peace? No. We walked up and we weren't at peace. And we walked up to this one and it was like, okay, this doesn't check off all the boxes, but something in my heart is right. Plus it's 7 minutes of Starbucks in Anderson. So it makes a difference for us because I save gas that way. But I think what we do is, and my point is here, church, we have to get past thinking there's one way. See, many of you think that I should be one way as a pastor. Many of you put that on your kids, on your family, on your relatives. And yet there are multiple ways to the same destination. Many of us will go to the same destination. What's interesting, though, we're not in a caravan. We all go a different way. Because in our opinion, hey, this way is faster. No, the rural roads are faster. No, the highway's faster. And so we take a different route. But guess where we end up? We end up here on Sundays, right? Together, unified. We're not so concerned about how you got here. But see, there's a peace, or there should be a peace when you get here, that this is where you should be. It's also not void of problems. See, oftentimes people say, well, I felt at peace, but then this hurdle will evaluate it. Is it a nervousness that comes from our humanness, or is it all of a sudden the rattling of the Holy Spirit saying, this no longer meshes with? And guess what? It doesn't always fit you. See, we want God's will to fit us. Church, Jesus didn't fit society of the day. He just didn't. In fact, he still doesn't. If we embraced all of who he was, I don't know how much he would fit today. His will cannot always be fit to your liking. Think about this. God's will cannot emulate those individuals who received a miracle in the New Testament. What do you mean? Here's what's interesting. If you really evaluate all the miracles in the New Testament, all the times that Jesus did something incredible, you know what happened? Think about it. A lot of times they came and they did what? They received a miracle and then they went. They went back to their families, to their lives. They celebrated with people. Oftentimes we didn't get to see them do what? Stay and engage. They came for what they needed. They got what they came for, and then they left. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Let's think about this. We're trying to figure out what God's will isn't. And see, oftentimes we want to come and receive from God, and then we want to go back and away from God. Think about the individuals in the Bible who begin to get names, who begin to get their stories told. You know who those people are that received the miracles and stuck around? Well, they have names like Mary of Magdalene, right? The seven demons were cast away, and guess what she did? She didn't go back. She stayed with. And all of a sudden, she became a part of the mission and journey of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, she's just not one of those people that got saved, changed, and then back to, she becomes one of the people that gets to what? Really, she's one of the first that gets to hear about the resurrection. Man, see, this changes things. See, really, God's will, when we step into it, isn't just about receiving. It's about continuing to be a part of the mission of Jesus. And so if a decision takes you away from the mission, the work, the partnership, then I would say, think about whether or not that is God's will for you or not. Many came for a miracle and got what they came for. Few came for a miracle and stayed. Those that stayed after the miracle became part of the mission of Jesus. And there's other ones I could talk about. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he persists, even though the crowd tries to silence him. Jesus has them bring the man to him and ask him what he wants. He asks to be able to see again. Jesus tells him that his faith has cured him. He immediately regains his sight and begins to follow Jesus. He begins to follow Jesus, and we get to know his name. When we are absent from Jesus, his will become distant. Oftentimes, I hear people, even some of you, say, at one time I heard, but I don't seem to hear anymore. And do you know the people that I hear that from the most are the people that are most distant from the mission, most distant from the stories, most distant from the changed lives. And so, if lives are being changed through your efforts of following Jesus, then you're probably in his will. And is he too concerned about which house, which girl, which boy? Well, as long as their heart is his heart, as long as, hey, that fits your family. I told someone this one time. In fact, they sat in my office here and said this, and they told me this whole long story, and I listened through it, and it still bothers me to today, this one. And I said, let me ask you this. Placement is the Lord's. Meaning, as a pastoral family, as someone who said a long time ago, God, I feel different. I feel called as in called out and called away. And so whatever that looks like, I need to be okay with that. And so God places us as a family in a place. But then in that place, God gives us freedom. But see, as a minister, when we decide the placement, that's the struggle. That's where the problems come in. That's where our will versus... And I said to that person, I said, you know, you're concerned about putting this person first. And I get that, but put God first and let him place you. And then make sure in that placement that you keep a healthy spousal family relationship. And so here in my calling, I'm in the right place, and I have to make sure in that placement that I take time for my spouse and my kids and to invest in them. But I can't put their placement before the placement of God. Okay? See, that's where we get confused with God's will. We place ourselves where we want to be, and then we hope that God will be there. And he will be, but it won't be his best. It's not so much about which route you choose, it's that you get to the place where you put in. Think about, so we talked about what it isn't. Let's talk about what it is. So what is God's will? Well, in the scripture here, it tells us beautifully. There's a couple of things here. It's restful. Y'all like rest? Come on now, we like rest, don't we? Somebody a picture? I was joking around, like, I play with my kids a lot. Like, we're into that, but I play with them most often laying down. So, like, even in the basement on the cold floor, I lay down and I play dolls with them and stuff, and I put a pillow here and lay forward, and we do everything just because, like, I'm constantly on the move, and so when I don't have to be, I feel like laying down is best, right? I mean, it should be. I don't even like recliners. I just like couches. Like, let's lay flat. God intended us to get some rest. We like rest, right? And I think what's interesting here is that when you translate it, Jesus was saying, if you'll follow me, I know the intimacy about the Father, and I know a lot about the Father, and the Father knows a lot about me, and if you'll come with me, I'm going to give you some information that you need. And in fact, here, it does not translate. This is the unfortunate part, because we want it to translate as laying down. We want it to translate as some type of rest where our body feels refreshed physically. And yet all Jesus said here is that I will give you rest, which is actually him saying quiet from oppression. Meaning if you'll really receive from me And so here's where we begin to continue to understand, okay, that when the less unsettled, the less out of kilter, the less peaceful we feel, the further we are from Jesus. Because he says, if you're at rest, it means you are far from oppression. See, some of you are in oppression, not because you can't help it, because some of you are in it because you can't help it. And that's a hard place to be in. As a church, we need to wrap our arms around you. But some of you are in oppression because you're stepping yourselves into it yourself. And Jesus is saying, I want to give you rest from that. In fact, that's what he says. Because I know so much from the Father, and the Father knows so much from me, that I know your future. I know your final resting place. So just come and receive quiet from the oppressive forces of the world. See, we often just read this and we think it means rest. It's also a place of learning. Here he says, learn from me. In fact, it actually translates as to understand thoroughly and enact habitually. You know what a habit is, right? Did you know that statistically speaking, in our society, it used to be like 52. Now it's well over 60 that you have to do something in a row. It's because our society is changing. So it's harder to change a habit. It takes like 60 times in a row to change a habit now. And what Jesus is saying is that if you'll learn from me and apply it habitually, meaning always apply it, as God speaks to you, you grow and you learn. Don't go from the mountain back down. Continue to go. He also says that he'll bring revelation. And translated here, he was saying to the people, if you'll just come to me, I'm going to bring things to light that you need. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to all of a sudden come in when you pray and say to me, hey, should we do this or not? It doesn't seem like the right time. And he says, just go for it. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you light. He's going to bring you into his light. His will is gentle. What's interesting, a theory that we kind of have is that Jesus is so gentle, yet he's gentle in his approach, right? But he is not gentle in the sense that he's not bold. Jesus brings bold truth, yet he does it in a loving manner that's translated as gentle. Meekness isn't actually translated as being like a church mouse. It's actually translated being bold in love. See, we have a hard time with that. We want to be bold in self-righteousness. We don't want to be bold in love. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's a gentle word, it's a strong word, but it's meek in its expression. Y'all still awake? Good. Staying with Jesus unleashes God's purpose. God's will and the transformation that comes with God's will happen through association. Each week we're going to kind of touch on this, because all of the events that we're going to go over in the Word talk about association. Jesus was associated with the Father. The Father was associated with Jesus. And through our association with Jesus, we not only get to know Jesus, but we also get to know the Father. And so we can only be in this through association. And so if you're not associated with Jesus, then you really don't know what God's will actually is. Because the only way we know is through association. And what he was saying in the first 3, 4, 5 verses is that through my association with God and through your association with me, I will, which is a promise, reveal things to you. And aren't you excited when God reveals things to you? Aren't you excited when he gives you a sense of peace, a sense of purpose, a sense of understanding? God's will is an association with Jesus, his word, other spirit-filled believers, service, action, and sacrifice. All right, 3, and we're going to close this out. He does say this. He kind of lumps it in there. It's kind of the short part of it, right? He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And see, we often, before that, say the rest means like actual rest, and he doesn't say that. He just says it's not any oppression. And then we get to this place where just after saying it's not actual rest, it's just oppression, I need you to take my yoke. That's how you're really going to understand my will. And what's interesting here is when you're translating, you have to be careful because there's a lot of translations of this. You have to look specifically in the translation that comes from Matthew 11 in this verse 29. And it actually talks about to place on oneself a replicate. Meaning what it is that Jesus is saying, which is to take my cross and bear it, which isn't that exciting because we know all about the cross of Jesus. Here's what's interesting. We were built to replicate. I think it's fascinating. If you just watch the youth, and I don't mean youth of today, just youth in general, they replicate their friends. There is a season where every youth replicates their friends, and as parents, you hope, right, that the investment that you've made in them spiritually is going to hold on through the replication stage. Now, in psychology, we call it other stages. I'm just going to call it enjoology, okay? It's a replication stage. We become like them, but yet we think we have this unique identity, yet we don't. It's why sometimes students get in trouble that it doesn't seem like their character. Well, they're replicating someone else because that someone seems super cool. Like super on the edge. You know, all, and I don't mean this in a horrible way, but as I was on Facebook, remember that time it was so depressing, I went and started looking. This was years ago. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I can't handle it mentally, emotionally. But anyway, years ago, I went on a hunt of all these people that were like cool. And wasn't I so disappointed? It's like, what in the world? Like drugs, alcohol, they look like they're 80. People that I thought were like, and I wanted to be just like, and now I look at them, I'm like, I can't believe that. And then I look at the ones that hung around with me and were on a good path and loved the Lord. They look their age. They've not been destroyed because they've been a part of. I mean, I was going to be real with you. My grandmother smoked every day of her life, all day long. And when she died, her face was completely forward because of holding a cigarette for 60-some years. You know what it does to you? First of all, it gives you lung cancer and you die from it. Second of all, it makes you look like you're a smoker. And then when she spoke, you know what she sounded like? Like I do when my asthma's bad. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I'm going on the same path as her just because of COVID, not because of, anyway. But church, here's the thing. Jesus says to us, why not replicate me? Why not take my cross so that your fate can be my fate? But see, if we're not bearing those things, to share all things willingly. Yes, there are times we're going to have to share in his sacrifice. There are times where we're going to have to step out in things we don't like. And there's going to be some times where we may not do it willingly, but we do it. And then God has a way. God has a way of bringing peace to our heart. Then he surrendered. This is Jesus. And we all know this so well. Not my will, but yours be done. Some of your translations say, not my will, but thine be done. And see, church, if we'll just receive that, yes, we bear a cross. Yes, we bear weight. But yes, we bear it with the power and presence of Jesus Christ. And so, how do your prayers sound? If you notice, my prayers are not great, but they're intentional. They focus on honoring God first. Then they go into, okay, what is your will, just as Jesus taught us? What is your will? What are your ways? Reveal that to us as a church, as a people, as a person, as an individual. And then get into the requests. And Jesus did that well. My purpose, your purpose, is greater than your current problems. Don't let your current problems dictate the will of the Father in your life. Whatever you do, do unto the Lord. Beautiful scripture in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand when judgment comes. Church, you will, if you'll stand with the will of the Father. If you have been raised with Christ, and you say, well, how do I decipher? This made no sense. This isn't really what I expected. Church, you've got to join the journey of God's will. Not your will versus God's will, but like God's will for your life. Colossians tells it beautifully. So the question first is, have you been raised with Christ? If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. So, Mary, as you come, I'm not going to do an altar call, but I want your minds and your heart to kind of head into this kind of sense. And that is, if you want to understand God's will, I think it's not as complicated as you're making it, but I think you have to seek Him, right, in order to understand it. So what are you seeking? Where are your thoughts? I think right now the enemy's doing a good job of keeping our thoughts and our minds on certain things that are happening in society. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be mindful or shouldn't be aware, but I think what that does is it distracts us from keeping our minds and our hearts set on the things from above. And he says, not on the things of earth. And so just think this morning as you're sitting here, because I think if all of us were honest, we struggle with understanding God's will. I feel like where you are, serve the Lord. The scripture tells us that. He'll reveal, He'll show, He'll embrace you in that journey. Stop worrying about the route and focus on the destination. Stop worrying about the route and look to Him who gives all knowledge. So the question is today, where is your mind set? You know that some of us, this is hard to say, but some of us are so set that what we're doing and what we have in our mind, that it is the Lord's, and yet we know it's not the Lord's, but we're so set on making it the Lord's that we can't even see Christ. And church, I think that's a problem in church. This is how it should be. Is anything how it should be? I mean, I'm middle-aged and I feel like everything's just... But yet He's not. He's the same. He's the same whether I'm here today or not. He loves me the same. He has the same peace and rest. And so where, church, you've got to ask yourself this, where are your thoughts? Where are your minds? Where's your focus? Thought it'd be fitting just to share a quote, as tomorrow is our celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. I just want to do God's will. We oftentimes forget in society his spiritual contributions, which were huge. Really, that was his heart. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. Think about this. I mean, he didn't know. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. Whew. You know, that's how we as Christians should live. Because what that tells us is that it wasn't all about him. And so even if he didn't get to experience that which was over the mountain, his hope was that those that were behind him would. And so when your spiritual journey begins and ends with you, you can just know that that's not God's will. I can just tell you that today. I'm going to throw a couple more quotes at you at the end here to just ponder. What you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. Stop always seeing your fulfillment of God's will as a gift from Him and see it as a gift that you give to Him. And then I know we're not Catholic, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mother Teresa. Holiness is doing God's will with a smile. Y'all, too much in the church, as a holiness church, we don't smile. And we're not happy. And the people around us would say, wait, that's what holiness is? You mean the ones that frown and are always just grumpy and pointing at other people about what they're not and are wearing? And you mean that's holiness? Church, holiness should bring a smile to your face. Holiness should bring joy to your life. Holiness should bring peace in your heart, contentment. Where it doesn't matter whether you're in this house or that house, or what matters is who you're looking to and where you're going. And guess what? As a church, we should be going places. It shouldn't be the same old, because the world isn't the same old. It's not much different than what the disciples dealt with if you really read. But man, I love Paul's writings because every one of them is different, because he wrote them to all different cities and all different people. It's why people get confused, because some of his letters are so conflicting. Wait, it said here not to, but it said here we could, and here it elevated, but here it didn't. Well, because he was speaking to specific areas, situations, problems, scenarios. And so when you fit in your mind church to be this, and Jesus is saying, I can't have it be this right now because Anderson doesn't look like Noblesville. Anderson doesn't look like Fishers. Come on now, it doesn't, right? Let's just be honest. Neither is better nor worse. But Anderson isn't Fishers, and so we have to treat Anderson the way God's called us to treat it, to serve it, to minister to it. And so, I guess today, as you decipher God's will for your life, as you journey, as you uncomplicate it, as you receive it, as you seek it, let us as leaders do the same for AFC. Don't expect as you grow and change for the church to just... And so I would encourage you today, come to me, all who labor. Now I'm ending with that. Now labor is different, and I believe this. Some of you can't labor the way I do, like I can't labor the way some of you do. In fact, there are days where I look at Pastor Klinger, I'm like, I'm going to be an invalid by his age. Like, how am I going to match that? I mean, he lifts more than me. He moves more than me. I don't know, but I can't be like him, but some days I try, okay? And some of you are at a life space where you can't do all that you used to. Then do all you can and be at peace with that. But the interesting thing to heed here is that Jesus said, come to me, all who labor. And then he gives what he's going to give. So if you're not laboring, don't continue to read the rest, because you're not actually going to get the rest. Isn't that hard? We don't like to come on Sundays and hear that. But see, we don't stop and read things. We say, well, God, let me skip verse 28 so I can get to 30. Because I'm not too sure about 29 either, because it says, take my yoke. And so let's skip those two, but I want the rest. I want the peace. I don't want oppression, but I don't want to serve. It's COVID. I don't want to, because you know, excuses didn't start with COVID, right? They were way before that. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now, the church wouldn't be on a, 70% of Nazarene churches wouldn't be declining more than 10% a year. 70, 69 and a half. Percent of Nazarene churches are declining over 10% a year, the last 3 years. That's depressing, isn't it? It's because, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, meaning laboring for Christ. We want to say, come to me all who are Christians. That's not what the scripture says. Well, I want to be on the church board. Well, how much have you served in the last year? Ask yourself that if you don't get a letter. We love you, but you can't tell others how to serve and give if you don't serve and give. And then we wonder why we don't know God's will, because we're not walking and laboring with him. And Jesus is a good laborer. And then sometimes we do it and we don't smile because we're not actually happy about it. And so, as you seek the will of the Father, be a part of the will of the Father. Be active. And if you're 83, then pray like you mean it. Write a card like you mean it. Call like you mean it. Be concerned like you mean it. But don't get out in the cold and work at the, right? God, we thank you for this day. I could belabor this and go on, and but God, you're calling us to understand you. Because God, your scripture says that as we walk and labor with Jesus, he's going to reveal to us. So God, I'm going to live in expectation that you're going to reveal to me that as I walk with you, as I labor, that you're going to speak to my heart. But God, today as we go out, if we're not willing to labor, and labor looks different for all of us, so we can't feel conviction in the level of our labor. But if we're not willing to labor and take up the yoke, take up the cross, then God, today we can't expect to know and be revealed to. Because what I'm reading in this scripture, I think that you may not trust us enough to reveal to us. And God, my heart's desire is that you would trust us as a whole enough to reveal to us. And so God, let us think on this as we go out. Let us be challenged, encouraged. For some of us here today, we are right there. We are laboring. We are, God, encourage them, give them rest. Give them a lack of oppression. Give them fulfillment. Give them peace. Speak to them while they're on that route towards the... And remind them today that it's not problem-free. Of course not. The enemy doesn't want to make it problem-free, because then more of us would do it. And so, Lord, today, encourage us. Send us out. God, send us out challenged to join this journey of labor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Be safe. Stay healthy. Smile.